Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFL Fantasy Podcast. My name is Angus.
And my name is Dan.
And we're here to talk about the Game Week 44 action. The double game week has just finished. We are recording on Wednesday night after the Hull-Coventry game, or Coventry-Hull. I forget which way around it is. Coventry-Hull. And so we're just going to do a quick turnaround pod following the double game week, talking about some of our key takeaways, answering your questions, and giving you something ahead of Friday's deadline. But first things first, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. It feels like a couple of weeks, probably about three game weeks, maybe not that much. A lot seems to have happened. Southampton were in the title race and then they emphatically got themselves out of the title race yesterday. Yeah, still key battles going on for promotion, playoffs, and of course the relegation, my favourite this time of the year. So yeah, looking forward to go over the gaffer and championship related stories.
Yeah, obviously, I've sort of been pushing quite a lot that Leicester would still be end up being fine, and this has been a good week for that take. But yeah, so as I said, we're going to do quite quick turnaround. We'll cover off how our teams have done. We will talk about our main sort of takeaways from the game week, and then we will answer your questions. I imagine there will be a little bit of a focus on the remaining double next game week. But yeah, so I'll cover my team off quite quickly, in part because I'm not in too much, I'm not too desperate to talk about it. So I've got 104. I overhauled this week. I was picking a keeper to go with Hladky because he blanked this week. I picked Cooper of Plymouth, who managed to score zero. So that was well done by him. Van Ewijk for one, Walker Peters for three, Vestergaard for nine, Carvalho vice-captain for 30, Omer for five, Philogene for 11, Dewsbury Hall for 11, Mavadidi for 11, Adam Armstrong captain for 16, and Che Adams for seven. I've carried through three Ipswich, and I still had Femewo on the bench for four. So it would be another red arrow for me. Season sort of, you know, just drifting away, which, given the way my season has gone, feels fitting. But yeah, it's one of those things. I've got the triple next week just to try and sort of pick it back up a little bit and a nice finish. But yeah, not exactly playing for a lot at this point for me. What about you?
Yeah, pretty similar. I overhauled in game week 43, got 107 in that game week, which was a red arrow. And then so far this week, if the points are correct, I've got 99. I rolled the transfer this week. I'm going to be taking a -4. Going into the next game week, bringing in three Coventry and triple as well. But this game week, I had Allsop for seven, Brady for three, Walker Peters for three, Pereira four, my vice captain Carvalho for 30, Philogene for 11, Stuart Armstrong for one, obviously got injured in the first game, Dewsbury Hall 11, Mavadidi 11, Emil Reese for two, and Adam Armstrong was my captain for 16. Like yourself, I had three Ipswich on the bench and Liam Lindsay for four. So, yeah, a bit disappointing. Preston just didn't really show up, which hasn't helped me. And going Mavadidi over Fatua, is a massive swing. So we did mention that was a really good punt.
Yeah.
Shame neither of us went for it, Angus.
I mean, that sums up my season perfectly. Another sort of tipping up another, like, oh yeah, this is a great punt for this one. Did I do it? Absolutely not.
So yeah, I think yeah, I started roughly before the overhaul about 100. The game hasn't fully updated, but I'm probably down to about 150, which is a bit annoying. Hopefully my triple goes as well as some people's this week, and I get back up to around 100. That's the aim now.
Yeah, it's a big sort of week around this week, but yeah, so we'll talk about some of the games that contributed to those scores or lack thereof, and some of the sort of our takeaways. So I think the first one that I'm going to go with that we have to talk about is Leicester. So it's obviously sort of a massive point. Or a massive stage, sorry, because obviously in the promotion battle, and I think Leicester with these two games, you looked at it and it was sort of, even though it's two home games, West Brom and Southampton, it was like this has a real chance to make or break their automatic promotion chances, and they're basically up now. I know they need one more win, although technically they could be up by before they even play if Leeds. I think it's if Leeds lose to QPR on Friday, Leicester will be up before they even play. But if Leicester win one more game, they're up. And I think it's really impressive in the circumstances what they did. I didn't manage to watch the game against Southampton, but apparently they absolutely just demolished them. But I did watch the West Brom game, and I have to say, West Brom were very good against them. And I think all credit to Leicester for hanging in there at times, because it wasn't easy. And, you know, we talk about sort of, normally we talk about it with champions, and they're not definitely going to be champions, but it looks now like they're going to get promoted. And, you know, coming through a game like that feels like the sort of game that at times, particularly in this sort of situation, you just have to get through and get a result. I think. You know, I included him as the GIF for the tweet for the questions this week. Hamza Chowdhury. I know there's been a lot of questions about Hamza Chowdhury this season, and I think it's more about when he's playing at right back. I think, you know, it's not sort of like questioning his ability almost as a player. It's just that sort of right back role. I think he's struggled at times in that role. I thought he was excellent. Not just because of the three goal line clearances in one game, although that obviously sort of headlines it. But I thought he was excellent. His all around game, the number of times he won the ball back, the number of times he sort of, you know, made the right pass, kept things moving. Just thought he was really, really good. And it's felt like at times when they've needed them, obviously they've got the performances from the big players. But it's been players like that that have stepped up and given them sort of these key performances when they've needed them. And I think that was sort of really important for them this week. And obviously, like I said, I didn't see yesterday's game where Fatawu is the headline maker. We've talked about him, but it's been more of like the Dewsbury Halls, the Mavadidis, the Vardys. Fatawu has had some big moments, I think, back to sort of scoring the winner against Bournemouth in the FA Cup and that sort of thing. But I think this was another one of those where you need somebody other than those big sort of three, really, to step up. And he did in a big way. And yeah, Leicester are probably up at this point as a result. So obviously a massive week for them.
What do you think on Southampton? Because obviously they were out of it, and then they sort of, due to slip ups, got themselves back in it. But they massively miss Downs when he's not playing. Like Shea Charles just isn't up to it, I don't think. They've obviously had Bazumu, who's injured as well, so they're playing Alex McCarthy. I'm not quite sure why they have a left back in Manning, and they've decided to break Bree and put Walker Peters in at left back. I found that a bit strange.
I think there might have been sort of a conditioning thing with Manning. Obviously, he didn't play for a while, and then he played a few games, and I think there was something about, like, almost he just wasn't quite there fitness wise, which would make sense as given the sort of, that he hadn't really played for a stretch. Downs was obviously a massive miss. Whether it's like whoever they're playing in there, it makes a massive difference to them. It shouldn't make that massive a difference. Like, that's regardless of who you're playing, regardless of how it comes about. It, as one of the best teams in the league, you can't be going out and losing 5-0 to a team. And Russell Martin made his feelings very clear. He is very unimpressed with the team after that. I would not be surprised to see changes. It's just as well for me that my plan is to sell two of my Southampton players because I'm not saying that everyone has to, but I think everyone should feel a little bit nervous about their Southampton players at this point.
I'm intrigued to see what they're going to do because obviously they know they're going to finish fourth, probably anyway. They do still have the Leeds game, the last game of the season, and if that has something to rely on, I don't think the rest of the clubs are going to be happy if they don't play a strong side in that. It was different when. Like Luton were in a similar position, but we had Hull who were mid-table, and we basically changed the Hull. Not so much in the 2 or 3 game weeks before, but definitely for 46, Luton basically changed the whole side. Yeah, I wonder if it matters whether the rest of the league won't be very happy with Southampton if they start mucking around like that.
Based on, like I say, I'm just going off Martin's comments yesterday,
Yeah.
but based on those, I don't think that's going to be the case because he's sort of saying he was really unimpressed with sort of the effort and everything, and he's only going to pick the players now who he thinks are going to give their all, which suggests even if that's in game week 46, he's probably still going to pick the players that are going to sort of give it the most and everything. So I don't think there's too much of a risk of that. I'm just intrigued to see who he thinks those players are. And as a knock on, who he thinks wasn't giving their all. I'm intrigued to see that. But yeah, so there might be a few changes around, just to be aware of with them. But, like, I don't think they're a disaster to have. They're still playing like Stoke this week and whatever. But I think, like, it's just something to bear in mind with them.
We've talked about less than we probably need to talk about Leeds, as obviously Ipswich didn't play, did they? So crazy game away at Middlesbrough. I think we thought this was going to be a challenge, and it at some points it was. Somerville again with couple of goals. He took the penalty, Nonto and Bamford as well. So what do you think of Leeds? Obviously they weren't in great form either, and they've put in a statement performance, put the pressure back on Ipswich.
I mean, I
And
think
then they
it's a strange one because it was an understrength Borough team at this point, which do have to factor in. They got the job done. I think that there were some of those players that weren't necessarily sort of like great in that game. But I think they did what they needed to do, and at this point, that's what matters. Somerville was obviously excellent. I did sort of quote tweet the just embarrassing Sky Sports tweet about whether Nonto was offside on his goal when they have the perfect side on angle to show that he was offside and saying, "Is this offside?" Or it's just like There's like sort of tweeting for engagement, and there's
Yeah.
that. So maybe that would have been different if that goal hadn't counted. Not saying that they wouldn't have won the game, but it's that whole sort of does it become different at that point? But yeah, I thought it was just a crazy game, and I thought Borough played their part in it. We've talked about sort of, well, we've talked about Latte Lath for a while. We've talked about him looking like he could end up being a decent pick or a popular pick early next season, but he's sort of made a really strong finish to the season. I think you could say similar for the likes of Isaiah Jones as well.
I should have kept Latte Laugh in my overall. That's what I should have done. Don't forget Reese. Just bring Kate Latte Laugh.
So I think they played their part in the game, but I think given that, I think that it does mean that credit is due to Leeds for still making sure they came out of that game with the result, which at this stage of the season, as we say, is all that really matters.
Yeah, obviously it's a tight turnaround for them as they've got the Friday night game Leeds, but they can put scoreboard pressure on massively against QPR. They open up a 4-point gap. I know Ipswich will have two games in hand, but Ipswich do have Hull, and we know Hull are still fighting for the playoffs, so that's not going to be easy either. So, yeah, Leeds have a massive chance here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the fact that they go first at the weekend is really big for them. I think in terms of the other teams, there were sort of a couple of results around that I think, are important to talk about. One of them for me is Sheffield Wednesday going to Blackburn on Sunday and getting a win. Now, we've sort of talked about Sheffield Wednesday. They've been doing well. They've basically been a mid-table side under Danny Rowell, but it got every week. Every week they were still in the relegation zone. They would find a way to stay in the relegation zone. They have finally climbed out.
I'm a bit disappointed because I said that it happened the last game of the season.
But it was obviously a massive result for them, and it was something we could have seen coming. Like Blackburn had, have shipped goals in enough games this season that it was sort of like this was possible. The Ainsley Pearce own goal might be one of the best things I've seen this season.
Why didn't he just palm it away? I don't understand it.
Don't know what he was doing. I also don't know how he's managed to kick the ball forward and send it backwards. That's we're talking truly incredible levels here. But yeah, it obviously puts a lot of pressure on some of those other teams down the bottom as well. Not that they weren't already under pressure, but I think the fact that Sheffield Wednesday have actually made the move out of the relegation zone, having been one of the better performing teams down there as well, those teams like Huddersfield, Birmingham, Plymouth, Blackburn themselves, QPR, it will suddenly make them feel a little bit more nervous that Sheffield Wednesday have actually made the move out of the relegation zone, which I think is a key psychological boost for them and a key psychological hit for the other teams down there.
Yes, obviously they've got home to West Brom at the weekend. West Brom are still fighting for something. So yeah, any point down at the bottom's massive. We've also got the Birmingham Huddersfield shootout. They play each other at the weekend where so at least one team is going to be on 47 between them. If Huddersfield lose, they're down, I think. Yeah, it will be with the
Yeah,
goal difference.
it's highly likely. I'm not sure if it's mathematically certain. It's kind of like we ended up with Rotherham for a week or whatever, where it was like they're technically not down, but they are really.
And then Birmingham couldn't even beat Rotherham. Evans backing up Rotherham. I said they wouldn't win that, didn't I?
Yeah.
But yeah, QPR won.
Yeah.
That was another rubbish goalkeeping mistake by, was it Preston they played? Yeah, it was 1-0. So, yeah, do you think, I know technically they're not safe, but would you class QPR and Stoke as just probably have enough?
I think so at this point. It's really tough to say, but I think they, just with the fact of like Birmingham, it's the fact that Birmingham need to pick up sort of, well, probably 4 points and then pick up none, that it's just like they've probably got themselves to a point where they've got just enough, like you say. It's tough to envisage. Like, obviously QPR have two very tough games. But like Birmingham, I wouldn't even guarantee that they would win away at Huddersfield. I mean, I think that game this weekend will play a
It's gonna be
massive
a draw.
role.
It's gonna be a draw, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just know it is. Huddersfield just draw, don't they? They love a draw, Huddersfield.
And then Norwich, the final game, which is obviously sort of not ideal. Huddersfield, obviously, they play Birmingham. They've then got Ipswich away as their final game. Which could be really tough for them, but it's just sort of like, I think, yeah, I think those on 50 are probably just about okay.
You then have the Stoke Plymouth game where Stoke won 3-0. It's one of those where Plymouth get that great result against Leicester and then lose to Stoke. And I'm sure the Plymouth fans would have taken 3 points from those games, but it's just the manner it's happened, and you probably ideally don't want to lose to another relegation rival.
Yeah, and I think it's Stoke, I think, could have been in some big issues if they'd lost that game. Obviously if they'd lost, they would have been sort of down on 47 points. Even if they'd drawn, they would have been right in it. The fact that they've got a win there, probably all right. It plunges Plymouth further into it. I mean, I've joked all season on the pod and off the pod about Jay Stansfield, and how well he does, not how well he's done, not just against Plymouth, but against it. Like you find Plymouth connect, you can find Plymouth connections of some sort in almost every team he's returned against, and giving him the opportunity to relegate Plymouth feels dangerous. But yeah, I think it's a concern for them, obviously. But I think it's something they can look at quite quickly. They're still, I think, the advantage at the moment still goes to anyone who is still outside the relegation zone, because the pressure is still on the teams below to actually get something. But Plymouth, it's a weird 2 games they've got: Millwall away and Hull at home after this, where I don't know what to make of them going to Millwall, but if they go to Millwall and get anything, they're suddenly in a decent position, particularly if Birmingham and Huddersfield do manage to draw. It'll be interesting to see, but yeah, I think obviously the key headline there is it's a massive win for Stoke. It basically secures their place in the league next year.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the match tonight quickly.
Yeah. So
Do you reckon
obviously
the
Hull,
commentary helped?
I think this was important. Well, it was probably in this, the winner has a chance at the playoffs, even if it's an outside chance. Like, losers probably done. And I think when it was a draw, you're sort of looking at it and saying, okay, like I can maybe sort of look at it sideways and see a way that, Coventry could get back into it with the game in hand and whatever, but even that was tough. I think now Hull have an outside chance, but this is where the goal difference could potentially come into it, where they are behind. But I think them winning and giving themselves a chance is obviously big, particularly after the dropped points against Watford at the weekend. And the two, well, the key players really sort of involved in returns in you had Philogene and Carvalho, obviously Delap back in the lineup and getting a return, and then in addition to them, Ohio coming off the bench and doing something. I do think there's an element of, games like this to any degree make you think, like, if Delap had been out for like even just four fewer weeks, obviously it was quite a long-term injury, but if he'd been out for sort of 4 weeks less, what they could have done is sort of the other thing that tonight really sort of makes me think about with them.
Yeah, I agree.
Coventry obviously rested players. I think they've had a bit of a punishing schedule recently, and then obviously having the FA Cup at the weekend, going all the way to penalties. You could see that, I think, with some of the players that got left out from the start, the likes of Van Ewijk and Sims and Wright. I think that really was about sort of the minutes played on Sunday. They obviously grasped the potential significance of this game, but you can't just run guys into the ground, unfortunately. They were in a good position in terms of still being in the game when they could bring those guys on. But ultimately, it wasn't enough. I think they'll still be decent picks going forward. I don't think they're going to sort of just let it go, particularly while they still technically have a chance. Particularly sort of you look at it and you sort of think a Mark Robins side, until it's dead, they're not sort of going to give it up. So I think for those looking into the double game week, I think particularly for the first game, where it will still be possible, there's enough there to sort of think, yeah, they're still worth going with. But it just feels like there've been a couple of periods this season where it's felt like they've sort of had a bit too much of a lull. I think today it was more just about the way the schedule had fallen in this particular moment almost was unfortunate for them. But the fact that they were down and sort of came back and the winning goal isn't a great look for them, unfortunately, but
No.
that they still had some good moments in today's game as well. I'm not sure there's much else really, that some other games
Nah, I don't think.
happened, but just looking through, not really. So we'll get on to the questions. I think this sort of gives us an opportunity to do that. Thank you to everyone who sent the question in. We've got a few of them to get through. The first question is from FPL Frog. Said, "What's the best way to cope with a red arrow on triple triple?" Well, I don't know if your red arrow on triple will still be there on triple triple after the whole game tonight. I don't know if that plays a role in it. But yeah, I'm not sure what to give you on that one.
I mean it. I'm not saying anything yet. I'm not playing my triple triple next week.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I get a red arrow on triple triple next week. Chris Hermitage, if you forgot to play triple triple this week, last week, which three would you want for the 45 double? Already have triple Ipswich, so thinking Broadhead, Sims, and Wright. I think Davis is nailed on for me in on the triple triple. I will not be playing it without Leif Davis. At this point for me, there's so much variability in the Coventry strikers. I will still be going with Ellis Sims. And then it will probably be a coin flip for me between Hadji Wright and Connor Chaplin. That's where I'm sort of at with it at the moment. And I think it then, you know, anything beyond that depends, A, who you've already got in your team, and B, how aggressive you want to be, whether you want to try someone like a Casey Palmer or something. But I think those four, maybe with someone like a Kiefer Moore, are going to be the most, I think, the obvious ones for triple triple this week. You're obviously on triple triple this week. I think your feelings are probably similar to that.
Yeah, pretty similar. It'll be three from Davis, Chaplin, Sims, and Wright. I haven't decided yet, but I'll probably go more down the Coventry, I think.
Matt Woolley, is it realize this isn't fantasy? That's all right. We're quite happy to talk about non-fantasy things as well. But with two games to go and so much still on the line, who goes up automatically and who is going down?
I think it's going to be Leicester Leeds. I think the importance of Leeds game on Friday is massive now.
It's really tough because Ipswich have the extra game, but they're obviously behind. Away games at Hull and Coventry isn't nice. It's easy to drop points in one of those, particularly if the legendary MKM Brick turns up at the whole game. but yeah, so providing Leeds get that result on Friday with those two Ipswich games afterwards, I think Leeds will probably just sneak it. Relegation. I'm going to go Huddersfield, and I'm going to stick with. I don't dislike them, it's just I'm sticking with my prediction of Plymouth going down. It could be any one of about four teams. It's just that I've, you know, it's the one I've been going with, so I'm just going to roll with it. I'm not sort of wishing relegation on them, but it's just sort of where I've been at, so I'm sticking with them. What about you?
I'm going to go Huddersfield, I think. And I'm going to go Sheffield Wednesday. I think they've got out of the bottom three too early.
They peaked too
Oh.
early.
Yeah, they peaked too early. I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can see why you're saying Plymouth. They've been going down or hurting, really, but I don't know. They do have that gap, though, don't they? And they do have a better goal difference.
Yeah, it's not like obviously I've given you the teams and I'm not sort of completely walking that back, but I think it's difficult when you've got a couple of those games which are so significant this weekend. The likes of obviously Huddersfield Birmingham alone will obviously play a massive sort of role in what the picture looks like going into the final day. You've got Plymouth going to Millwall as well.
Yeah, well, it will definitely be 47 in 20 seconds. So it's if Plymouth don't get a point, then they will be a point closer the relegation zone, whatever happens in the.
So it's, you know, obviously we've sort of made our predictions, but I think it is one of those things with a couple of those games where it really could change significantly based on what happens this weekend. FPL Commander has said, thinking of getting two attacking Coventry players for a hit, which two would you go for, Sims and Palmer, or is there a better combination for you? So I know we've both talked about going Sims and Wright, which I still think is probably the best way to go. We've talked about Casey Palmer numerous times this season. I've mentioned him a number of times. I do like him. I think while he's staying fit, that's obviously been the key there. He's obviously scored tonight. So particularly if there's a, if it has to be a midfielder, for example, don't mind going Palmer. But I, in an ideal world, I think it would be Sims and Wright. What are your thoughts, just because I know I've sort of talked about them there, on O'Hare at this point?
He wasn't in the squad today, so I don't know if he's carrying something.
Possibly. I hadn't even thought of that. So that'll be
It's
something
tricky
to
because,
check.
yeah, it's tricky because he's out of contract, so I'm guessing he's going to go now.
Yeah. So yeah, it's probably between those three if you're looking for two attackers in terms of Palmer, Wright, and Sims. Non-stop FPL, best Ipswich forward for their doubles, and are they a captaincy shout over Davis or Sims?
Probably. I don't know, it's very close. There's not many defenders I would captain, but Davis is definitely one of them.
Yeah. I'd probably say Chaplin of the Ipswich forwards, but it's very close.
I doubt there'll be rotation though. They've just had a massive like rest period, so
Yeah.
it's going to be they're going to play. I'll be surprised if their best team doesn't play the next two,
Yeah.
because they normally rest anyway around the 70th minute anyway, so.
Yeah. I would expect it to be Hutchinson, Chaplin, and Broadhead behind Moore. I think, like I said, I think marginally the best pick for me is Chaplin, but it's close for me. I don't have sort of a strong feeling on that.
Broadhead's better on bonus, but he's also more of a risk.
Yeah. Like if Sarmiento is going to start a game, it will almost certainly be for Broadhead, etc.
Yeah.
That's also part of the reason why I wouldn't give either of them an armband over Davis and Sims. I think they're the two best shouts for me at this point. Well, it's
Yeah.
Sims all right, depending on whichever Coventry forward you feel better about, but I think it's Davis and one of the Coventry strikers for me. Even Chaplin, we've seen. Like can be rotated and everything, so I think that's part of the reason why I'd go with one of those.
I think Wright's on pens, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because even though he missed, he took two in the final, didn't he? So
Niall Fairbrothers asked, do you prefer Sargent or Armstrong for the last two games?
ooh, I don't like either. Well, they probably Sargent just because they're not guaranteed the playoffs yet.
Yeah,
I think that's Armstrong both games.
I think it'd be Sargent just because I think he's got decent fixtures. If you assume he plays both, that's probably better. Southampton, little bit of an unknown at this point. I don't think Adam Armstrong was one of the players that Russell Martin was talking about, but
He's not going to start both games, is he? I don't
I
think.
don't think so.
There
I
will
think.
be some.
Like, it's going to be one of those things. I know they'll want to make sure they've got some sort of momentum going into it, but at the same time, there's also sort of the element of, yeah, but they can't afford any more key players injured going into the
Yeah.
playoffs. And James Wood has two questions for us. The first one is, if you overhauled and forget to play the chip, including a minus 44. See, I didn't notice it, but this, but Dan did after the deadline.
Yeah.
Do you think performance enhancement can repair the damage? Asking for a friend. I think for spreading your points, it's probably the best way.
So unlucky, isn't it? You
Yeah.
forget to press it. It in Super League, I accidentally activated a boost. I ended up with over 200 points.
Yeah, that's the other way it can go. But yeah, I don't think performance enhancement is that bad an idea. Just to sort of try and claw that back a little bit. And he's asked the second question. He said, end of the season question. Who would you take on a date, Scarlett Johansson or Catherine Winnick from Vikings? He also says Jamie might be a better person to ask in the next Q&A.
I just had to search who Catherine Winnick was.
Yeah. I personally, like, as a long time admirer, I'm gonna go with ScarJo.
Yeah, I think I agree.
So that's everything. Hopefully that has been mildly helpful ahead of the double game week in 45. I'm not sure when we'll next pod. If you have any more questions, if there's anything that's not been clear, do ask and we'll do our best to sort of answer that. But hopefully this has given you enough to sort of to go off ahead of game week 45. We're nearly at the end now. There's only sort of, well, I was going to say there's only sort of two or three transfer decisions to make, but some people will probably make like seven. John Jayco, for one. But yeah, so thank you all for listening. Hopefully I will have this posted for you on Wednesday night, so it gives you a decent amount of time to listen to before the deadline. But yeah, so all that's left for me to say is thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.